Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about the work of the Commemoration Fund. The Commemoration Fund was set up in 2020 to better serve Tulsans of color to alleviate longstanding economic, social, and political injustices. Last year, the fund, which is administered by the Zero Foundations and are advised by an advisory board composed completely of people of color, distributed $1 million to nonprofits serving after-school programs, alternative education, low-income housing efforts, nutrition programs, health care, career development and job training services, and arts organizations. In all, 20 organizations received funding from seed money for a major expansion of after-school athletic programs to entrepreneurial nonprofits who purchased a refrigerated truck to expand their nutrition efforts in a food desert, or home improvement services for low-income housing to improve safety and enhance housing values in those neighborhoods. Well, the next round of Commemoration Funds grants will be given this spring, and the deadline to apply is February 1st. I'm joined by Clarence Boyd, a program officer at the Commemoration Fund, along with Joseph Bojang, local technology entrepreneur and member of the advisory board. Join us to tell us what's happened so far with the Commemoration Fund and what they hope to accomplish in the next few years. Clarence and Joseph, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Clarence, let's start with you. What is the Commemoration Fund for those that don't know about it, and what is its purpose?
So the Commemoration Fund is a capital investment that was gifted by the Zero Family Foundations to serve as a vehicle to correct social, political, and economic injustices experienced by minorities in the Tulsa community. It was founded in June of 2020 after the murder of George Floyd. The Zero families came together and said, it's more than putting a statement on a website. This is really about how can we change the systems that we're dealing with and giving, you know, the power and the authority to grant and fund these organizations by the people who they're representing. And so Commemoration Fund was established with an advisory board made up of 100% people of color, and they were granted a little over $6 million in funding. And we started from scratch and really came up with a sound strategy in terms of, you know, some of the areas that we wanted to address, and opened the cycle up last year. And in 2021, in April, we granted about $1 million in funding to 20 different organizations in the Tulsa community. And we are excited about this second round of funding.
Now, Joseph, you're a member of the advisory board. How did the board come up with its funding criteria, your funding priorities?
Yeah, I think the main interest or special interest we have in grant funding is really around justice, health equity, education enrichment, advocacy, and leadership development. So that kind of goes back to what Clarence was saying is whenever the foundations put these thoughts together, they really wanted to do something to address, you know, things that happened initially in 1921 race massacre. So they put this board together to say these are some ways through justice, health equity, education enrichment, advocacy, and leadership that we really think we can address some of these issues in our community. We believe Tulsa is a great place. We want it to have an even brighter future. What can we do? So that's how we picked the initiatives to start investing in.
And I assume that when I looked at the first year grants, some looked like they were one-time projects, a one-time sort of reach out from an organization to do a specific project, time limited. Others look like they will be longer term initiatives. Will the Commemoration Fund help? You know, it's one thing to get the initial grant to get it started, but it's another thing to sustain it. Will the Commemoration Fund help some of these organizations sustain that and, you know, slowly pull back funding so that they can really serve a larger population?
Absolutely correct. I think, you know, when you think about the systems and the disparities that we're looking at and we're focused on, they took years, even decades, to build and expand. And so we know that breaking down those barriers are not going to happen overnight. So many of the solutions and the initiatives that we're working on will take some time to unpack and build out. But we're really excited about planting those seeds and figuring out what we can use to leverage to build a more sustainable programming that will last, you know, beyond the commemoration fund or what we've placed in these first couple of years. So we're excited to see, you know, a lot of our existing grantees come back for additional funding. But the board is very, very intentional, and we were intentional at the forefront about making sure that what we're granting is really providing, you know, some focused initiatives and feedback. And we're very, very data driven. And so we want to make sure that we're looking at outcomes and the impact of the first year before we just commit to further funding.
Well, I know you had, about 20 or so grantees in the first year, and some of them were major projects. Others were very small projects, like a record album, which was done in the Cherokee language, which was a very cool project. You know, that obviously was a one-off thing, but when you look at something like the expansion of the Reed Community Foundation, which has, you know, helped so many people in the community for a long time with limited funding, it sounds like the grant last year was a really transformative gift to that foundation to really expand their impact in the community. Can you talk about what's happened over the past year?
Yeah, so, you know, you talk about the Reed Community Foundation grant, and that was, you know, again, we were a very, very small piece of it, and we focused on, you know, projects that were creating long-term community assets and things that will remain for decades. And so we partnered with the city, with Williams, Hilti, even the Ann and Henry Zero Foundations. We all came together to help, you know, move this work forward. But, you know, I'm excited about just seeing the transition of some of these, you know, smaller, underfinanced nonprofits that exist in the community and have been community assets for years, that, you know, we're hoping to, you know, shed some light on some of those organizations that, you know, usually don't get as much attention, but are certainly valuable to these communities that we live in.
And both of you, what were some of the highlights of the first year funding to you, you know, especially maybe some of these smaller nonprofits? What were they able to do with this funding? And I mean, I assume that you had reports on what they did. What stood out to both of you? Joseph, let me start with you.
Yeah, I'd love to jump out there on this question and even briefly touch on what you asked about, you know, giving multi-year grants. And one thing that's really important is the sustainability of the organization beyond the grant term. So in a lot of these organizations that we're giving to, that's really important. Do they have a great team? Can they survive without this funding? So as grant makers, we look at all that, and it has been a blast to work with these nonprofits. I'm sure Clarence could talk about so many more, but one I'd like to highlight on it is, I think technology is extremely important, and a lot of grant giving we do, of course, is around legal, and then we help with food and many different ways. But I love, as an entrepreneur, seeing people learn how to embrace technology and use it in a way to where they can actually communicate better, and seeing young kids, which is one that's really dear to my heart as a former programmer, being able to see them actually learn to code. In other projects that we've been doing with food and seeing people actually get healthier food to have a better life, because the best investment you can make is in your life. If you want to change something, you have to be around. So I think some of the projects we're doing are not just ones to help people in a deep need, but also to help people think about the future and get the tools and resources to be able to have a better life as well. So when I look at some of these projects that we do, like Urban Coders or the small part we played with the Reed Foundation, where people can have, you know, better living arrangements. So it's just been a really great time to work with so many nonprofits. One thing that we try to do also as grant makers is find more. And that's one thing that, as we receive all these applications, yes, we do work with some longer, but at the same rate, we get to get involved with so many organizations throughout Tulsa that most individuals don't know exist. So it's great to read their applications and learn more about how they're trying to solve situations and matters in our county.
My guests today are Joseph Bojang, who's a member of the new Commemoration Fund's advisory board. They gave their first year of funding last year and are now seeking applicants for its second round of funding. And I'm also joined by Clarence Boyd, who's the program officer for the Commemoration Fund, which is a part of the Zero Foundations. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. The second round of funding is due, I guess, right at the beginning of February. And today we're hearing about that round of funding, as well as the work that the fund has already made possible. Well, one of the big areas that we hear about all the time, certainly in West Tulsa, in East Tulsa, and in North Tulsa, is the lack of healthy, nutritious food, you know, availability of fresh, nutritious foods. We're looking at like community medicine issues, availability of services in some of those areas. And it looks like a lot of your grants really focused on that last year. Can you talk about some of the results that you've seen so far? Clarence?
Sure. Yeah. I think given the fact that, you know, we have been in a pandemic and the Commemoration Fund started with a pandemic and how COVID has really exposed some of the true disparities in terms of health and wealth in these underserved communities, I think that was, and that will continue to be top of mind for the advisory board. And so looking at, you know, some organizations, and we had some great applicants last year, and one that particularly was pleasing to me was our partnership with Crossover Community Impact and their Food is Medicine program, you know, where they really focused on, you know, at-risk patients, diabetic patients, and the goal is to look at some strategic ways to provide services. And so we provided some technology, a grant to finance some technology, some tablets, so these patients could get, you know, in-home assessments and classes, and they were prescribed certain foods, but not just given food once a month. They were shown classes, cooking strategies, and we're seeing those results in time. And so, you know, we're looking this year to not only, you know, expand on that, but really, really push that out to other communities and get the word out about some of the just phenomenal things that we're doing, just looking at, you know, some innovative ways to address health issues that we've been dealing with for decades. And so that's one in terms of health equity that I really, really appreciated. We worked with Meals on Wheels, and now with their North Tulsa initiative, I think when you look at a lot of the data, the life expectancy is 10 years less in North Tulsa zip codes than it is for other areas around the city. And so really pushing to expand on healthy food options. As we well know, North Tulsa has been in a food desert for quite some time and recognized as one. And so making sure that we're getting, you know, healthy food options to seniors who don't have the access, don't have the transportation needs, but also giving them a second eye in terms of assessments for healthcare. And so Meals on Wheels is also partnered with Morton and Ascension St. John to provide some at-home services and reporting. And we're already seeing, you know, phenomenal results there. So it's exciting to see what we've done so far, but we're also, you know, excited to see what we're going to get with this new round of funding.
Joseph, what stood out to you on the, you know, the healthcare front that you were able to fund last year?
Yeah, real briefly, I agree with a lot of what Clarence is saying, but I think the idea of people being able to be mobile with the food and bringing food to people, Clarence talked about food deserts. Sometimes that happens because of the location you're in doesn't have any facilities, or there's no one, you know, taking on that initiative to create a place. So in some of the grants that, or in one particularly that was given, one of the organizations was able to, you know, get a mobile truck. And there's things like that to where I love to see people thinking outside of the box. And if we can't build something there, we'll create a mobile truck and bring it to you. So I think that's a really cool idea. And I love to see things like that continue on. So no matter where a person is, or if they can or cannot get around, they can still be helped.
I was going to mention that, as a matter of fact. I think you're referring to the refrigerated truck that would expand access to fresh, nutritious foods for
Absolutely.
Latino residents here in the mm-hmm. city. I think a lot of times when you hear about grants, you're thinking of, you know, big projects. And really, it looks like there's a mix of big projects, sort of long-term growth initiatives to serve more clients for some of the nonprofits that have been around for a while. But often it can be as simple as, hey, we need a refrigerated truck to be able to better serve our small clientele, or maybe we can serve more. And it could be just a single one-off project. And I looked through the list of grant recipients, and there were quite a few like that. There were a number of things where it's just like, hey, what can we do to serve a few more people? Oh, we need this. And, you know, the foundation came up with the funding to make that happen.
Yeah, Rich, I love that. One thing, when you said that, it made me think of when I was a kid. One thing that I would love is when an ice cream truck would come around. Now, I think a good way for people to think of that is with Meals on Wheels or La Cosecha. The same kind of idea, but they're bringing around healthy, nutritious food that people can be excited about. So, yeah, thank you for highlighting that.
Well, in addition to like justice initiatives and equity initiatives and health and education, you're also looking at community culture as well. And that's something that you also funded. Things like long-term artistic groups like Theater North, the Sherwin Miller Museum. Are you getting some interesting new groups that are applying at this point?
Yes. And some of these, you know, from last year, I had personally, as a lifelong Tulsan, had never heard of, but really some of the grants around heritage and preservation, culture, Horton Records, as you mentioned before, with the album production performed entirely in the Cherokee language, you know, Theater North, that has been a long established Black-led theater program, and they've been, you know, devastated in terms of performance and programming due to the pandemic. And so providing some additional operating funds for that program has been great to see. Illuminative is another, it's another organization that, you know, I had never heard of, but really putting together some multidisciplinary, multicultural presentations that look at, you know, the cross-section between the Native American journey into Oklahoma and the African American journey and how they're so similar. So, you know, we get to see a lot of cross sections of cultures, and I think the education that our youth need to see those types of things so that we can understand that we're all different, but we're all here in Tulsa, and it's a melting pot of different cultures and different histories that we need to be aware of.
Now, one other area which we haven't talked about, which I noticed there was some funding, is likely to even be a greater need in this coming year and the next few years to come, and that is affordable housing. I know you supported Green Country Habitat for Humanities, the community development, you know, in North Tulsa. There's a couple others that help revitalize homes, low-income homes, to help improve their housing values. But is that an area that the foundation is looking towards as you look towards the next couple of years? Because as you well know, housing prices are really skyrocketing in the city.
Yes, I think that is going to be a huge focus for not only the commemoration fund, but I think the philanthropic community as a whole. If you look at the Tulsa Equality Indicators, other than justice, housing, those equality indicators have declined over the last 4 years. And so housing continues to be, affordable housing continues to be a real, real struggle. And so we know that this is going to be one of those initiatives that's going to take some time to develop, but we're hoping to build out you know, an infrastructure that provides access to not only federal dollars, but state funding as well, so that we can really provide gap financing to make housing affordable. And I think that's going to be a long-term issue that with inflation and construction costs and labor, we're going to continue to battle, have an uphill battle there. But I think, you know, we've got a large group of stakeholders that are, you know, passionate about bringing vibrant neighborhoods together in North Tulsa and East Tulsa. And I think we've got a great backing, not only with the Commemoration Fund, but other nonprofits in our community that will really help to progress this forward.
My guests today are Clarence Boyd. He's the program officer for the Commemoration Fund, a part of the Zero Foundations, and Joseph Bojang, who is a local entrepreneur and member of the advisory board. The Commemoration Fund is seeking applicants for its second round of funding, which is due at the beginning of February. Today, we're hearing about some of the work that the fund has already made possible with their first round of grants last year. And we'll also talk about some of the criteria that they're looking for this coming year. Joseph, as you know, last year, I think you served about 20 organizations out of 70 applicants. That must have been hard decisions to make. What are some of the criteria that the advisory board are looking at when you decide whether to fund or not fund a project?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rich. And some of what I talked about earlier, the interest that we're looking to support, but also we're wanting organizations that we can either help with general operations so they can take the funds they get and use it for that, whether it's for specific program or facilities, for equipment or vehicle purchases. It might be someone that's new to starting a nonprofit and they're needing help. So maybe they need a consultant to come in and help them, you know, put a better structure in place for their nonprofit. And then also, even if they have a team and they've been around for a while and they're looking for help with planning or even bringing in someone to train or have any activities like that, we want our funds to help with research projects or any effort that aims to address an issue in our community and can help, you know, other folks, whether they're Black, Indigenous, or people that are in this community and looking for help. So our grant making services are really looking to help those folks. And of course, you have to be a 501c3. So if you're not that, you might want to get all that in order before you apply. And I'll just say one last thing is that when we're giving out grant money, we're really looking for people that have a strong structure, leadership structure in place. So when you're applying for a grant and you're putting all your paperwork together, we really want to know that you can survive past the grant that you're receiving from us, and that you have other ways to make sure that this isn't the only way your organization will be around. Yep. So there's other things that maybe Clarence might want to add, but that's just a general overview of what we're looking to do and how we help these organizations.
Clarence, you want to jump in?
Sure. I would, as an applicant, you know, I would ask myself, you know, a few questions. One, what system or issue is my organization or initiative addressing, and what demographic am I helping or serving? And then, you know, where does this piece or my particular piece fit within the overall system? And are there others doing the work? And if so, what makes my work different, or who am I partnering with to move this forward? Does my organization have the bandwidth to do this work ourselves? And if not, what partners can we connect with to solidify the work moving forward? And as Joseph said, you know, how sustainable is this work? What happens if funding disappears or leadership transitions? How can our work go forward, becoming a program or an initiative that transitions into a resource, or, you know, a capital project or a capital grant that transitions into a community asset? What value am I adding to this community long term that is going to be intriguing for the board? Because I think, you know, it is a competitive process. I think that is something different than any other applications or grants within the Zero Family Foundations. And so we do want organizations that are going to stand apart and really make a difference.
Well, if you're both looking for organizations that are going to stand apart and make a difference, out of the first round of grants, is there one that has stood out to you as really making a difference with whatever investment the fund made into that organization last year?
Every single one of these organizations are doing a phenomenal job. I think one that just, you know, particularly melts my heart is the Dream Center. We've seen, you know, kudos to Tim Newton, the executive director, and their whole organization. They've really stepped up in terms of providing COVID relief, food access, education, and really just being a center of just collaboration of programs and services for that community. And so I think they have done a phenomenal job with utilizing funds, leveraging those funds, and really creating community investments that involve and impact that community or impact that neighborhood. So that's just one, but I could go on for hours with different organizations and what they're doing.
And Joseph, for you, is there one that stood out?
Yeah, I'd agree with Clarence. It is hard to pick one, but one that stands out really just gets to what I see happening across the globe and seeing people in Tulsa really take initiative of that. And that is really teaching young people how to program. So I think what Urban Coders Guild is doing is a really unique thing. Of course, all the other nonprofits that we're funding are doing great work, but that's one thing that I can really relate to just based off of my experience and seeing how much of a need. We're doing this meeting right now based off of people that have the skill to create programs and do really cool things with computers. And I see many things going that way. So it's great to see that happening here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And of course, as the there's also an infrastructure for after middle school and high school for those students, if they really have that desire and interest, to immediately go into the work community pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
In our city.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. The Commemoration Fund will be seeking new applicants, second round of funding coming up in February. Clarence and Joseph, thanks so very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Clarence Boyd is the program officer for the Commemoration Fund, administered by the Zero Foundation, and Joseph Bojang is a member of the advisory board. The Commemoration Fund is seeking a new round of grantees on February 1st, which will be given later this spring, to nonprofits to help Tulsans of color. You can learn more at zero.org/commemorationfund. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks so much for listening.